Take your Bibles, or at least look on the screen. I wrote some things down that I thought were true. I know there's the blessing of God, there's the wonderfulness of our Lord, and the positiveness of knowing Him and living for Him. But there are times when dark forces launch against us. And as somebody, I'm old enough to be around and to follow Jesus and to serve Jesus, to know that there's a battle going on in the spirit realm that we must, and the Apostle Paul talks about it a lot. And so I wrote some things down, mulled them over in my mind, and I want to read just a couple of verses here. Just a couple of, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your salvation, and see the salvation that the Lord will bring. Oh, wow. You will not need to fight in this. It's not you. It's the Lord. Just stand firm, hold your position. Now, I'm going to come back to that because I'm going to touch on that throughout my time here. Turn as well now to the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, it's pure vitamin C. You can't get much better than this, but finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God so you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. I can promise you one thing. You won't hear many sermons on the devil. Just how it is. I think we're either we think there isn't a devil, or that's all we see is the devil. So it behooves us to take a look at this, and so that you can become strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and not to be afraid, but also to know how we fight against Him and how we claim the victory on the side of the Lord. Let me just read some things to you to set the stage. Though Satan has been decisively defeated, i.e. 2,000 years ago on the cross, he is engaged in a desperate counterattack against the church. Around the world, you could hear testimony upon testimony upon testimony that we were under attack, emotionally in some cases, physically other cases, other times. Finances, all kinds of problems breaking out, strange behaviors and people, and just that it feels like there's a war going on, a battle going on. There is. That's because there is. And so our role, it's pretty simple in a way, our role is to hold our ground, just to hold our ground in the strength that Christ Jesus provides. We conquer the devil. Now, listen to this carefully now. We conquer the devil not by overwhelming opposition to the gospel, but by remaining firm in the face of opposition. And so I made a little statement here called standing our ground against the devil. See, it's an unseen battle. You don't see him, but his effects can certainly be felt over and over again. So standing firm in our ground against the devil. In the Bible, there is nowhere stated that we should plan an attack against the evil one, or the defeated one, I like to say. There is a battle to be fought, but our role is neither to win some spectacular victory, nor even to launch an all-out offensive. Our function is primarily, if not exclusively, defensive. Not offensive, but defensive. So the question arises, who attacks whom? Who attacks whom? Paul urges his readers merely to stand firm. Stand firm in the face of an attack. And four times in the book of Ephesians alone, it says, it has things along that line. He exhorts the believers to hold your ground. And that would be a great approach to each one of us, and we haven't seen each other for a while, say, are you holding the ground? Are you holding the ground? Our job is to hold the ground, to keep the battle focused where it should be focused, to put on, and that's in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, to put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Oh, he's got lots of schemes to deceive us if he could, to put us down, to make us not believe in the goodness of God, that God doesn't love me and God doesn't care about me. All kinds of thoughts. I've had, kind of like visitations at night where I thought that was strange. It felt weird. You remember an atmosphere that feels kind of weird? And I've, many, many times over that. Usually when it's linked to some victory that was won for the Lord. But you know, that night there was like, it was just disturbing, and yet the Lord showed me what to do with some of those attacks. We're to put on the whole armor of God. That's the starting point. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, and Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Stand then. Don't go rushing in. I heard somebody say that they were going to give the devil a black eye. I don't think so. Even our prayer meeting, we're not there to try to beat up on Satan. We're gathering together to hold the fort, to keep firm in the strength of the Lord has given us. And I'll come to that in just a moment here. Chapter 6, Ephesians 6, 14, withstand in the evil day. And Paul urges the believer under fierce assault, not offensive, but to hold their ground. Stand fast, stand, 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 stand. And so I wrote here, take note. Here are some expressions of that. Standing firm. Holding one's position. Resisting. Not surrendering to the opposition, but prevailing against it. Ours, dear ones here today, ours is a defensive move, not offensive. It's defensive, not offensive. We guard ourselves, we put on the armor of God, and then we go forth, and we trusting only in the Lord and not anything that we have done that makes us win a victory. Stand does not mean standing with our hands in our pocket. It's not kind of a thing where we're standing. Now, there's way more to it than that. Christ has won the victory. He's won the battle. When did he do that? 2,000 years ago on the cross outside of Jerusalem. And the victory was won. I know that from Colossians chapter 2. I don't think it's even on your notes here, but take a look at that. It's a fascinating chapter, Colossians chapter 2, and just to see what happened, how the principalities have been overthrown. And Paul, of course, understood that clearly. So we are to stand firm in the face of satanic counterattack. And I think even from the book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 27, here again it's standing firm, he says, in one spirit, standing firm, that we're together in oneness, praying each other, praying for strength and power and might, and that we would be strong in that strength that God gives, but not to step over into areas that don't belong to us. There are some things we're not to pray about. They don't affect us. It's not right to pray about it. Because it's past our authority. So it comes to human impotence, the weakness. And we see our weakness in the face of demonic attack. Who's up for this stuff? I'm not up to it. I appreciate the songs that were talked about that, about the strength of the Lord. But in the face of demonic attack, where you feel overwhelmed, and as many people have told me, they said, I just felt like I was going uphill. I've been so I'm oppressed, so discouraged. It's like it's just kind of something pressing on me. And I said, would you like to pray with me about this? And they said, we can pray about it? I said, we can overcome it, but we must do it the Lord's way. And we knelt down together and prayed that it would be broken, but we were focused on Jesus. Lord, thank you. Let this be a victory for you, and may this person be touched and blessed and ministered to because of you, Lord. And there, even as we prayed, the lifting came. The heaviness came. Years and years and years ago when we were meeting in that room in there, so I can't imagine how long this was. But I remember I was coming, I was in the church something, doing something other. The ladies were meeting in that room over there. And I felt oppressed. Ever felt that? Just felt oppressed. And I'm not an oppressed kind of person. I got to dig that up a little bit to see. I'm just not that. By personality, I'm not that. But I felt it that night. And I felt, and I asked, I don't know if they'd even remember it. I think Margot was there. But I said, you know, kind of embarrassed as a guy, would you pray for me? You know, are you a wimp? I said, that's how it felt like saying, are you a wimp? I said, I just feel kind of out of it. Oh, no, of course, you're usually Christian ladies. You don't have to ask twice, right? They're right there, all the way around. Click, 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 click. And and so they laid hands on me, and we knelt down together. Oh, why didn't we stand and take the... No, because we're showing humility. And they prayed over me. And I even as they prayed, I could feel... It's just like, I said, you can stop now. I said, while you were praying, I felt that heaviness lift. It was an assault, a spiritual assault. And I'm grateful that these people know how to pray and know what to pray. It's a blessing for sure. So be strong in the Lord. Not in our strength, not in my strength, not in your strength, but strong in the Lord. See, believers, Christian believers, we do need power. We need power. We need might. We do. And strength. A weak church, I would say, different people I've talked to, some pastors, and I said, how would you assess the strength of our churches? Because one thing about being in a place a long time is that you have perspective. If you have nothing else, you have perspective. And they said, oh, we're not doing too bad, doesn't it? I said, I don't know. I disagree. I said, I think we need a great strengthening. And these are my reasons. So I shared some reasons. And small thing, we're just sharing, you know, as brothers. But there was a definite thing in my mind that the church, if we don't have power, I mean strength and might and power, if we don't have that, we will never be able to overcome anything. It's such important to have that. That's why we come together to pray, lay hands on each other, pray blessings on, pray that the church will be a powerful place in the spirit realm, not in a manipulative way at all, just in the Lord. So we're expected to hold our ground, but we're not expected to launch a battle. We're not expecting to look for a fight. I'm not coming after the devil at all. We're just going to lift up Jesus. We're just going to exalt Jesus. And the enemy, when he sees you exalting Jesus, will come towards you to make you stop. And oftentimes, after a great victory, that's why we need to pray and just cover all the workers and all the people that were involved in VBS. The gospel was presented. Now we need to cover that with prayer so that the enemy won't come and take the hue off the rose. And we understand about that while coming together. And there's other things to pray, but that's one of the things as well. We do not have strength in our own resources. So when we come together, we're not arrogant, say, okay, let's deal with the enemy. I don't even want to be beside you if you pray like that. That's human arrogance that gets in the way. And we don't have the strength in our own resources. We come with utter weakness, total weakness. What are you going to bring to the table? What are you going to bring to the plate? Nothing. I got nothing. I'm bankrupt. I can't. The forces of darkness coming towards me, what would I have to offer? Except we better pray. Let's pray. We feel our weakness. We feel our ineptitude. We just feel this, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing because it'll bring us to prayer. It'll bring us to the battle that the Lord wants, and we'll be blessing Jesus and not focusing too much on the devil. and what he's doing. We do not have strength in our own resources. Well, that's just how it is. This is the nature of it. And so when we, this is how in a church there needs to be a lot of people who know how to, well, we're praying for their children, praying for our teenagers, praying for our outreach, praying for the fall, all kinds of things. And we need God to bless it. We've got nothing. We know the evil day says, and on the evil day comes. It comes regularly. We've all been part of that. Say, boy, what a time that was. Yeah, what a time it was. There was a lot of spiritual battles. And even I remember praying for someone who was physically under attack. And missionaries, all of our missionaries would say, when they go out and do missionary work, they're under great assault. They get sick, they get run down, they get overwhelmed, they get discouraged, and they were just preaching the gospel, but there was somebody didn't want that preached. Somebody didn't want the gospel to go forth in power. Because as we humble ourselves and we lay before the Lord and say, oh God, you arise, oh God, you let your enemies be scattered. We're bankrupt here, Lord. Come and touch us and win the victory, Lord, as only you can. So the armor is consistently defensive. Consistently defensive. How do I know? From the text. Belts, followed by breastplates, followed by sandals, followed by shields, and followed by helmets. That's not a bazooka. That's a rifle, right? That's just that's the dress code. And so we come to a verse like 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9. I don't think that's in your notes, but you might take note of it. Just make a little note to yourself. I like the part. It says, the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. When he senses too much prayer here, he will bring discouragement and some strange person who's stirring up trouble, and that's what it'll happen. And we'll wonder, what happened? We were doing so well there, and it all went because it was designed to go under. I mean, there were forces, and I'll describe those forces in a bit here. There were forces that were against what the Lord is doing. See, God raised up, not just this church, other churches too, but God raised up this church for a purpose and there's things that he wants to do. He didn't just build it so we have a place to go on a Sunday. He raised this church that we would be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's what we're supposed to be. And when we're not, we need to repent and call ourselves to and confess our weakness and confess our sinfulness sometimes. And that we are more caught up in the things of the world than we are in the things of God. And the devil knows that. If he can have a carnal church, what is more terrible than a carnal church? A church that's really worldly. Oh boy. And we wonder why God doesn't move and why people aren't filled with the Holy Spirit. And we wonder why, we need to seek the Lord to get God's power. That it doesn't come automatically. We seek the Lord for him to touch our hearts and our lives. And then watch how a difference it is when there's a spirit-filled church. Full of might, full of strength, but it's the strength that God gives. And that's we make a very careful observation of that. So your adversary, we have an adversary, Peter's writing, your adversary, the devil, the devil, surely you don't, you do. You actually believe in this? Boy, I thought it was bad. I thought you were stupid enough as it was. Now you're telling me that I suppose the devil. And we just say, well, mock on. But we know what it is. And Peter knew what it was. Resist him. Didn't say attack him. We're not called to attack the devil. I've been raised with that kind of thinking that we're out to tackle the enemy. We're not tackling anything. They say, well, we're going to take the city. Take the city. You can't even take Monday. That's my observation. Stand firm. There it is, that stand. Isn't that interesting? Stand. Don't. He's going to roar. He's going to bite. He's going to try to divert us. He will try to discourage us. He will try to divide us. And yet we'll stand firm. We'll come together on Wednesday night to pray that will stand firm as we resist him. And, that's what we'll do by God's grace. And so our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. What is he doing? Even at church. By the way, you know the devil goes to church. You know that, right? He's an active member. He shouldn't be, but he is. And what he'll do, he'll get two people upset in the back row, or second back row, or that one over there, that one over there. And he'll just remind them, so-and-so didn't greet me today. Oh, she must be mad at me. Well, I don't like her. I'm not coming to this church if this is how it is. And they go home, and they're completely overwhelmed. They came to church with, look at it, the first part was so good, and now it's not good at all. And I thought, isn't that amazing? I've seen what I call the four-door slam. It's a family will pull up, and you slam, 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 march in. They're up. They're all mad and discouraged, and say, hey, you guys, what's up? Oh, we always have a fight on the way to church. I said, always? Pretty well. I said, now, isn't that interesting? Is there a four-door slam on Monday? No. Any other day? No. Just Sunday. Mm-hmm. Did you ever think that maybe the enemy wanted you guys all mad at each other, that you couldn't even enjoy the service, you couldn't enjoy the music, you couldn't enjoy anything? Could you ever think that might be how it is? He said, I never thought of that. I never thought of that. I said, count on it. Wouldn't that be great? They're going all excited about the things of the Lord and seeing their friends and being together, and then mad and wrecked the whole edge. I know, I'll leave the name out, but I know somebody, they pause out in the parking lot and they said, let's just pray so we get the right spirit here. And they just pray together as a family, say, Lord, we're sorry that we hurt each other. And I thought, well, and of course, then the enemy flitters away because that was the right approach for it. So, prowling around like a roaring lion, he'll look away, look for little weaknesses in your marriage. If there's any weaknesses, he'll find them. He's a master at this. He'll try to attack your children, your teenagers. He'll try to if he can. And so he gets them all discouraged and mad, and you wonder what in the world's going on. And that's why we go to prayer. That's the power of it. Christians, believers, are not working toward the victory, but from a victory already achieved. We're not trying to win the victory. It has been won. We're in charge of the mop-up. That's what we're left with, the mops, to mop up after the battle. But we can't achieve it. We can only enjoy it and say, Lord, go forth, mighty Lord, go forth and conquer on our behalf. And we kneel down so that the devil must think we're fools, and yet we know that this is the way to bring about the victory. Something has already been achieved. Victory comes not by attacking, but by holding fast to the faith while under attack. Years ago, the church over here down the road was doing a little bit of a building fund. I can't even remember all that it was, but I remember somebody said, is there going to be any competition between the churches? I said, no. Not going to be any competition between the churches. Matter of fact, now that you've said that, I said, well, let's send them some money. And we did. Not much. I mean, it was a token amount. But we said, here, we know you're in there's much of little things, but here, this is just a symbol of our love and care for you, that you could put this where you want it to be used. And to give money away, even though we needed it, to give money over there to thwart the enemy. See, we humbled ourselves and where we said, well, I don't know, we need the money too. You know, we need it more than they did. No, do it. Well, that's even greater victory then. Let's send more over to them. And so that we know that'll do. And the enemy, because he's full of pride and arrogance and division, and we squashed that. We brought that down. I am sure the enemy was discouraged about that because we did what God wants us to do. So here's the question. How can we cope with such a fearsome opponent? He's hideously strong. Never joke about the devil. That's my thought to you today. Never joke about the devil. He's frightening. It's not an even match. He is mighty and strong. He's a warrior. And he's coming to destroy the work, if he could, if he can. And he's trying to cause division on the North Shore. Say, well, do you know of any particular cases? No, I know humans. And I know how the enemy works. So how can we cope with such a fearsome opponent? Well, the first answer is we can't. So great is his strength and the horror of his strength and the hideousness. You see, there's reason, though, why we don't fear. We're not to be crouching and worried and sick and afraid that, what was that? No, that's not the approach we take. Believers don't fear the devil because, number one, God is sovereign. Satan cannot do anything apart from divine permission. He has to ask God for permission before he can do anything. That's the first point. And there's more I could say. God's plans. The Lord will always have something to do with his plans. Number two, Christ defeated Satan on the cross. That's the second reason why we don't need to be afraid. That's very powerful. Christ defeated Satan on the cross. He is a defeated foe. And he's enraged that he got beaten. And so he says he's coming down among you as our enemy. And so don't be too confident in yourself. We have nothing to boast about. Wish we did. All we can do is boast in the Lord and what the Lord has done and what the Lord will do and what he's prepared to do. I think it's important to remember that Satan has had a 1,000 years, maybe longer. He's had 1,000 years to perfect his skills. He is very clever. The schemes of the devil, they're amazing, aren't they? What glimpses we get, what things that we sense. And that's why we have to, when there's disunity, we have to go to one another quickly, suddenly, as quick as we can. Let's make it right with each other. Let's go forth in unity. We can't afford, because the enemy will see, he's drawn to unity. How he loves unity, or how he dislikes unity. And so as soon as he senses our unity, or our he'll come, and the point of it is, when the enemy senses there's a problem, he will exploit that. And things will be said to one another, and we'll break each other's hearts, and we'll say, well, I'm right. And he said, yeah, you're right, but the devil won. We must be up and about the Lord's plan that he has. And so Christ defeated Satan on the cross as a defeated foe. And we are now, my job, your job, all of our jobs, is to reinforce Calvary's victory. And you've heard me pray that 1,000 times probably, where you say, Lord, we just want to proclaim Calvary's victory, the victory of the cross, the victory of the resurrection, and we thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And as we pray along those lines, I'm not focusing on the devil, but on the great things God is doing and who he is. Lord, there's none like you, none like you. And we praise the Lord over and over again. So don't get too confident in yourself. Again, leaders have to be especially careful. The minute you step into leadership position, you better get ready, because there's going to be a fight. There's going to be a fight. Why? Because if you can get the leaders discouraged, the whole church is discouraged. Isn't it? If the leaders are discouraged, everybody's discouraged. And so his job is to bring in discouragement and upsetness and disunity and back to, just so many problems. Churches are kind of known for their problems, but I can see why. there's a supernatural battle going on. And, well, that's enough said probably about that. We don't need to know anything about what Satan knows. He knows lots. And Satan had 1,000 years to perfect his skills. And so he knows what to do. See, he sees Owen coming along. And he says, oh, there. I think I'm going to discourage him. And so if I don't have the armor on, and I don't put, you know, humble myself before the Lord, and then all of a sudden I'm discouraged, and it just keeps on getting worse and worse. And I thought, oh my goodness, the enemy is so subtle, so slick, that you wouldn't think that he would even know that, but he knows everything. He's not all-knowing. Pardon me, let me back that up. But he's powerful. He's strong. We've underestimated the power of the devil. We've underestimated the effects of the fall as well. And so what have we got to present? There's the Satan's hierarchy. Even this would not be enough. We need to be in the Word. We need to take the name of Jesus and the power of God, our Savior, and Christians defend themselves, and they must on that evil day. There will be an evil day. I'm not fully sure what that's all about entirely, but I've thought about it for years. And here's the point. This hierarchy, the Satan's demonic hierarchy, I don't think it's in your notes, but rulers, there's structure in the devil's work. Rulers, followed by authorities, these are spiritual things. No one's ever seen a ruler, no one's ever seen an authority. Cosmic powers and spiritual forces. And these opponents are supernatural. They're supernatural. So the Christian is out of their league. These are supernatural functions. And rulers, they have certain realms, maybe territories, I don't know. Authorities, they're sent out. And political things as well as spiritual things. Cosmic powers, amazing strengths. Spiritual forces. And they've all been released with the devil to deceive the church of Jesus Christ. That's what they've come to do that. And the end of the age, which we are approaching, I think we are. We're approaching the end of the age. Again, we're not to be afraid because the Lord's sovereign. And we're not to be afraid because Jesus defeated him on the cross. But we need to be alert. Alert. That's the best word. Because although we're out of our league, we're not depending on ourselves anyway. Right? The Lord will have to go forth. And when we pray on Wednesday night, we'll be praying, Lord, go forth. We arise, O God. Show your enemies. Defeat your enemies. Lord, we pray for there be an open sky over Lynn Valley. And we pray that. And we cry out to God and we say, God, show yourself mighty. The enemy is gaining foothold. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, in this hour, in this evil hour, help us that we can win the victory. We cannot do it ourselves. So strong are these forces. The best that we can do, and this is probably why it's there, the best that we can do is hold our ground. Hold our ground. Say, well, shouldn't we be advancing? No, I couldn't find any verses that have to do with attacking. You know, coming out, well, we're going to fix the devil. You're not going to fix anything. That's my take. When we come into, Lord, we come, we plead the blood of Jesus over this meeting. We don't know what atmospheres have been in the building. And so, Lord, we just ask you to cleanse and purify this place. And we, Lord, just let it be ready for our meeting. And we thank you that you are present here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming. And of course, now there's a tenderness, right? There's a tenderness because we're just, Lord, you're going to have to come. And then we cry out. And that's why, again, I probably drive everybody crazy over the years, but, we'd be praying and crying out to God. And I'd say, come on, raise your voice. And people by nature, except for a few of us chatty kind of people, they don't raise their voice very much. But there's something about a meeting that when you kind of say, look, we're just going to take about 2 minutes here, two or three minutes, and we're just going to lift up the name of the Lord, kind of like what I would say, like the Koreans do. The Koreans understand this. And they raise it and say, all right, let's just pray. We're going to pray now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Blessed be your name. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. And it rises and rises and rises and rises, right? You can feel the atmosphere. Everybody came in kind of tired and weary and oppressed. But by the halfway through the meeting, they're not. Because they invoked the presence of the Lord. There's something about lifting your voice. I think it's so that the enemy can hear the church has gathered. The church has gathered. And we come in our what? In our bedroom slippers. We don't have any fancy armor. We got nothing. We're coming because that's all we have is prayer. That's all we have. There's nothing else. Is there? Name it if there is. Let us know if there's something that you have discovered that will meet the day when the charging one comes. Tell us, because all we've got is the Lord. And we cry out. And that's why we don't have to yell the whole meeting, but we're just proclaiming the importance of the Lord and how wonderful he is. Well, I think that over the years, I've learned some things. Certain groups of people, they have, how would I describe it? There's far too much fascination. Their eyes get kind of a little too bright for me. And because they're somehow, oh yeah, the word demons, oh. Well, I can't wait for that meeting. They're a little too bright-eyed. I'm not explaining that very well. But I've been seeing this. Sometimes they're Pentecostals. And they're all excited because there's going to be deliverance. Yeah. And I'm getting less excited as I think about that. In the meetings, there's too much relying on the antics. So then I go to another meeting, and they don't even acknowledge the devil exists. They don't believe in him. Or if they do, they don't ever mention it. And so you got the two extremes. One is where everything is the devil, there's a devil under every chair. Or there's another side where there is no devil. And we need to really get that clear in our mind. I think what I've tried to share here tonight or today is how that happens. We keep that balance of our job is basically we're to protect the church. And so we cry out to the Lord for his help. I don't know. I've got a few more things I was going to tell you here, but I think I'll save it for another time. What do I thought we should do? We should have a little moment of prayer here, rather than just go home or over to the coffee spot, which we want you to go to the coffee. You know, there's parts of a service, right? The first part is the worship and the praise. Second part is the word, and the third part is the coffee on the patio. Because we can get to hang out with you for a few minutes anyway. So if you're able to come and hang out, that'd be really great. It'd be really wonderful. So how can we do this? Maybe, well, you can just sit where you are. But let's pray a couple of prayers together. Maybe three or four people lead out. I don't know. We won't be here too long. But just to practice what I'm talking about. Because I think in many ways, this next season coming up is going to be quite instrumental in the Lord's hands. And I get that from other leaders too. So, but we also get the feeling that there is We're not the strongest. My brother, you can just testify to that, right? Churches go through weaknesses and strengths, but many times they can be quite weak. And I think it's just the nature, I guess, of the stuff that he's been pastoring for many years. So anyway, I just say, why don't we just do that? I mean, maybe we don't need to stand. Maybe we can just sit right where we are. But just got two or three people. Just pray back. Just pray that back to the Lord if you could. And if you can remember what I said, no. Amen. Let's just bless him first of all. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I love you. We love you. Lord, none like you. We draw near to you. We draw near to you. We draw near to you. Where can we go but to the Lord? Where can we go but to his great name? We love you, Lord. We welcome your presence. We cry out to you. Fall fresh on us. Thank you, God. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yakama shalom. Yes. 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 Yeah. Yes. Stand firm, steadfast. Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Glory, glory. Yes, yes. Yes.
And the Lord says, stand firm in the liberty whereby I have set you. You shall not prevail against the enemies.
Yeah. Yes. 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 Lord, we pray for fervency. Whenever we gather, we pray that we'll feel the church getting more fervent. Not fanatical, but fervent. One more, or two more, one or two more. Yes. Lord, thank you that we don't battle the devil. You do. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. We acknowledge that in this place. One on this side here. I don't want to leave anybody over this side out. Feel free. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yeah. And everybody said, amen. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for being here this morning. And the coffee pot is ready. And it'd be great to chat with you for a few minutes if we could. So bless you.